Good morning, everyone, brothers, sisters, and friends. Welcome to our morning worship service here at Grace Missionary Church Online. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 16, we are encouraged by these words. Let us then approach a throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are gathered here once more to worship you. And although in different locations, we approach your throne of grace united with willing and open hearts. Strengthen our faith in you, O Lord, that our time with you will shape our minds to holiness and righteousness. We give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who came down from heaven to save us from our sins. He who himself knew no sin. And so the gift of salvation that has been given to us must be shared with others to the glory of our God. We pray once more, Lord, for our land and the world to be relieved of the scourge of the coronavirus that continues to the detriment of families all around the world. Your word reminds us in the book of Psalms, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Hear our prayer, Lord, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team, which includes Brother John Lear, Sisters Diana Reynolds, and Georgia Beckford, will come now to lead us in the opening hymn. We have a story to tell to the nations. And I invite you, from where you are sitting, to join in as we sing joyfully to the Lord. Following this, Sister Sharon Baldy will lead us in a time of intercessory prayer.
Come to the truth of God. when Christ came, kingdom shall come to earth, that kingdom of love and light.
Jehovah, El Elyon, Most High God, humbly we come to you. We thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing us in our right minds. We ask that you search us this morning and purify us. Like the psalmist, we say, create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. You, all-knowing, omniscient God, we bow in awe of your greatness. With grateful hearts, we give you thanks for allowing access to your throne room. We humbly come to you, Lord, recognizing the earth is full of your unfailing love. By your word, the heavens were made. We as a people revere your name. You spoke, Lord, and by your word, things came into existence. You command and they stood firm. You who fashion the purposes of people and your plans, they stand firm forever. Your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, we read, as a king is not saved by the size of his army, nor does a warrior escape by the greatness of his strength. But your eyes are on those who fear you, and it's your grace that sustains us. We therefore wait in hope for you, Lord, are our help and our shield, our defender, our strong tower, where we find refuge. And you, Lord, encamps around those who fear you. Not only do you encamp, Lord, but you deliver. As a church, as a nation, Lord, we give you much thanks. For Lord, we are amongst those who are enlisted as managing this pandemic. And Lord, we give you all the praises. We continue to lift up our leaders, our prime minister, our minister of health, finance, education, security, industries and commerce. Lord, we ask, Lord, as they pray and seek you, Lord, that you will guide them. Lord, help them to understand as you say in your word. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity, from all these current and pending disasters. I, God, if you seek me, will bring you back. And so, Lord, we continue also to lift up our frontline workers, our doctors, our nurses, our security forces, standing in the gap for those who are helpless and sick. God, we ask your hand of protection over them. We remember those, Lord, who have lost loved ones. God, by your Holy Spirit, we ask that you will continue to comfort them. Lord, remember our children who are at home. Lord, hover over them. Lord, we ask that their teachers will be diligent in executing their duties. Remember our church, Grace Missionary Church, and the church in general as we make preparation for resumption. Lord, we continue to ask your guidance for the selection of a pastor. Lord, remember our sick and our shut-ins. May they not be neglected, Lord. May we not neglect to nurture and care for these. We pray for our speaker, Sister Kamika Taylor, as she breaks the word to us today. O God, give us receptive hearts. We thank you for the enriched time we have had around your word this family month. Lord, we continue to ask your blessings on the activities that are ahead, Lord, as the month draws to a close. Lord, we give you much thanks for your many blessings. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
The scripture reading will be done by Sister Melva Knight and is to be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10.
Good morning, everyone. The scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 1 to 10. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead without heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead without heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is the word of the Lord.
The praise team will return once again to sing that wondrous song of old, Rescue the Perishing, which will be followed by a special item, It Only Takes a Spark, by Sister Cheryl Lewis.
Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings like buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, hearts that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently winding, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save.
The sermon for us today will be brought by Sister Kamika Taylor, well known to us and a true servant of our Lord. Lord, we ask that you would prepare her in a special way with your anointing power. And hear, O God, as the voice of your minister is lifted up to you, and prepare our hearts and minds to receive your gospel truth. And for those who do not know you, we pray that this would be their hour to seek the Lord. Sister Kamika.
It's a new season. It's a new day. Welcome to Church Beyond the Four Walls. Wherever you are, we are happy to have you. And we believe God has a word for you. And this word will bring healing, deliverance, and transformation. I remember when I got saved, I did not get saved in a church building. I was reading the Word of God, and it so impacted me that I knelt by my bedside and gave my heart to the Lord. And my prayer is that as you listen to this Word today, you will not only get new perspective, but you will come into a greater understanding of your purpose, and that Jesus will meet you right where you are, in whatever situation you are today. Our text for today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're not going to read all of it. We're going to read from verses 1 through to 10. But as we know, originally the Bible did not have chapter and verses. So even as we focus on 2 Corinthians 5, we're also going to be looking at chapter 4 so that we look at this verse in context. The topic of the message today is living with a daring passion in a time of crisis. Living with a daring passion. I'm reading from a version of the Bible that's called the Voice Reader's Bible, so it will sound a little different. We know that if our earthly house, a mere tent that can easily be taken down, is destroyed, we will then live in an eternal home. In the heavens, a building crafted by divine, not human hands. Certainly, in this tent of house, we continue to groan and ache with a deep desire to be sheltered in our permanent home, because then we will be truly clothed and comfortable, protected by a covering for our current nakedness. The fact is that in this tent we anxiously moan, fearing the naked truth of our reality. What we crave above all is to be clothed, so that what is temporary and mortal can be wrapped completely in life. The one who has worked and tailored us for this is God Himself, who has gifted His Spirit to us as a pledge toward our permanent home. In light of this, we live with a daring passion and know that our time spent in this body is also the time we are not present with the Lord. The path we walk is charted by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. There is no doubt that we live with a daring passion. And that this is where we get the title of our message. But in the end, we prefer to be gone from this body so that we can be at home with the Lord. Ultimately, it is not a matter of whether we are here or gone. Our purpose stays fixed, and that is to please Him. In time, we will all stand in judgment before the throne of the Anointed, the Liberating King, to receive what is just for our conduct, whether it be good or bad, while we lived in this temporary body. Living with a daring passion. In 2012, I met a pastor from Haiti. We call him Pastor Mark. He was a brilliant yet humble man. He spoke 5 different languages: French, Portuguese, English, and some other languages. He had served on the Logos Hope ship for, I think, 5 years. And after seeing and traveling to over 30 different countries, he returned to Haiti. And at that time, he was working with Operation Mobilization. Many of you at Grace will remember that I served with Operation Mobilization as a full-time missionary for 4 years. I was the island coordinator for Jamaica. Pastor Mark was the island coordinator for OM Haiti. In 2012, I took a team to Haiti. A team of 5 of us went to Haiti. There were persons from the US and also from Jamaica. And while we were there, we would go into these remote villages. And in one of these remote villages was a church started by Pastor Mark. And he told us that his church started under a tree. And when we went there to worship, he said for 7 years as they were worshiping under this tent, this shed, whenever they had worship on a Sunday morning, there was no rain. There might be rain after, but not rain before. And so I preached, he translated, and it was a small fledgling congregation. But wherever Pastor Mark went in Haiti, people were calling to him, and he was waving to them. He was like a celebrity. And he would tell us stories of spiritual warfare. And he said he wasn't afraid. And we questioned him about voodoo and different things. But he just wasn't afraid. And he was leading some of our projects. And I looked at Pastor Mark with admiration. What a man. He had a family, 2 children, Christoph, his son, and I don't remember the name of his daughter. And he took us home and his wife cooked a wonderful meal. I think she's a degreed social worker, and she also used to work at the bank, if memory serves me correct. It was a wonderful time. I remember we had a little accident in Haiti as we were, the truck that we were in got into problems and it was just rolling back down the hill. And, you know, we were a little bit frightened, but Pastor Mark was there to just steady us. We had a good time in Haiti. It was a little dangerous in terms of some of the mission things that we did, driving in the back of trucks, and we saw accidents and different things, but we did what we believe God wanted us to do, and we ministered to the people, and we saw people coming to know the Lord. It was a good time, and we came back home safely, and it was a good trip. Shortly after returning home, I got an email. It was an email from a member of our missions team. And in that email, what I read caused me to scream. I don't remember ever screaming like that. The news was not good. Pastor Mark, the brave one, the daring one, was murdered. He was leaving the bank with some money that was needed to help to build up the church because they were trying to put up a good structure. And Pastor Mark was robbed and murdered. And I said, why, God? Why? Why did you allow that to happen to Pastor Mark? And I remember hearing one verse of scripture. Unless a grain of wheat dies, it cannot bring forth much fruit. And I wondered, how would the work go on now that Pastor Mark is dead? You see, right now, many of us are, the Americans use the term, sheltered in place. We don't want to leave home because we dread the coronavirus, COVID-19. So we are sheltered in place, staying at home because we don't want to venture out lest something happens to us. We don't want to die. And right now, many of us are living in fear. Pastor Mark was well aware of the different things that were happening, the dangers. But he was committed to a mission that helped him to live with a daring passion. It eventually cost him his life. In our text, the Apostle Paul compares how we live, that in the body that we are in, is like a tent. And we know that with tents, tents are not permanent dwellings. It is something we set up and then we roll up. It's not a concrete structure. Pastor Mark's church was not a concrete structure, but he was carrying on the mission. If we are going to live with a daring passion, like the Apostle Paul, despite the dangers, dangers on sea, dangers on land, Paul and his companions lived with a daring passion. Their lives were in danger. Over 300,000 people have died from the corona COVID-19 virus. And what we understand is that we don't really want people to die. And so we're doing everything possible to stay at home, but to continue the passion. The truth is, some of us will have to venture out, despite what is happening. Something happened recently, my birthday, and I turned 40. And one of my supporters, one of my friends, the government regulation is tana your yard. And she saw my birthday as so significant that she said, listen, I have to see you. She's over 65, I believe. And she braved it and she came despite the dangers. What is it that will cause you to live with a daring passion? One of the answers is found in this text further down. Paul talks about it, that it is love for the anointed. It is love for Jesus that will push us to live with a daring passion. If we are to live with a daring passion, we have to see life, death, and suffering like the Apostle Paul. These are things we don't want to think about ordinarily. And so my first point is this. If we are going to live with a daring passion as believers in this crisis, one, we need to have a tight grip on eternity and a light grip on earthly things. The coronavirus has caused a reset. The things that seem to be important, we recognize that they are no longer important. Some of the people that seemed unimportant are now very important, like the cleaners. They're those on the front line, the essential workers. Paul is saying that amidst the threat of death, what kept him going was that he understood that this is not our permanent home. This body is just a tent. Like a tent, it is not the permanent dwelling. There is a resurrection to come where we're going to get a glorified body. Paul understood, as it is written in chapter 4, he said, we have no reason to despair, despite the fact that our outer humanity is falling apart and decaying. Our inner humanity is breathing in new life every day. So while this body will wear and tear, and some Christians are getting the COVID virus and it's attacking the body and some don't recover, what is it that will still cause us to venture out and to do good and to carry on the mission? It is understanding that this is only temporary. And so Paul says in chapter 4, verse 17, you see, the short-lived pains of this life are creating for us an eternal glory that does not compare to anything we know here. So we do not set our sights on the things that we can see with our eyes. All that is fleeting. It will eventually fade away. Instead, we focus on the things we cannot see, which live on and on and on. If you are going to live with a daring passion in light of this present crisis, you have to understand that death is not the ultimate end. Now, Sister Kamika, that sounds weird. Death is not the ultimate enemy. We don't like when people die. We at Tower Hill are grieving. Two of our members, their son was murdered this week, their first son. I don't even think he was 30 years old. And they are groaning. They are in pain. What is it that as they grieve will cause them not to despair? Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. We have this down payment, this pledge that tells us that there is a glory that will be revealed. Paul says, because we believe in the resurrection, we are not crushed by the afflictions on our side. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We have been knocked down but not destroyed. So, you've lost your job, but God is still on the throne. There are bills to be paid and you don't know where it's coming from, but God is still on the throne. I remember on that very trip going to Haiti, we did not have all the funds, but we said we were going. We stepped out daringly, and God responded to our faith. We carry in our bodies the suffering of Jesus Christ. But it says the sufferings that we go through now are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed. So death is constantly at work in us, but life is working in you. Paul was saying, though they're faced with the threat, their work was causing people to have life. So I want to say to especially the ministers, keep going. I look at my pastor, Reverend White. He's about 70, but he's still going. He's still ministering to the saints. He's still up and living with a daring passion, COVID or no COVID. With that murder this week, he was on spot. Him should tanaim yad. What is it that got him out? He's living with a daring passion because the mission that he's committed to is more important than his life. Paul says in verse 6, in light of this, what is this? He's talking about the fact that this is just a temporary thing. On this earth, we are just pilgrims. This is not our permanent home. In light of this, we live with a daring passion, knowing that the time spent in our body, we're not present with the Lord. The path that we walk is charted by faith. In fact, if you're going to live with a daring passion, you have to have a different and uncommon perspective on life and death. You have to adopt the perspective of the Apostle Paul. He says, whether we live or die, the most important thing is to please the Lord. Is this your priority in this season? Are you living to please the Lord? Are you so focused on what you have lost in this season that you cannot see the blessings that you already have? We have the pledge, the Holy Spirit, the down payment guaranteeing us of life to come. And though we groan and ache, Paul is a realist. He says we are groaning, we are aching. What is happening is gory. There is the gory, there is the groaning, but there is also the glory that is to come. And he says, if we're going to live with a daring passion, we have to focus not just on the goriness of life right now, not just on the groaning, but the glory that is going to be revealed. And we have to live the second thing he says. So the first one is, remember, this is not our permanent home. We are pilgrims passing through. We have to have a new perspective on life. But he says, we live with fixity of purpose. It is said that when you know your purpose, you can endure anyhow. We're told of Viktor Frankl in the Nazi German camp that it was purpose that kept him. Purpose will cause you not to give up. Purpose, like when a man loves a woman and he's fixed on this purpose of seizing this woman and making her his wife, and saying, I will climb a tree for you. I will catch a grenade for you. My goodness. Fixity of purpose can cause us to endure things we ordinarily would not. So if you're going to live with a daring passion, Paul says, whether we live or die, whether we are here or there, our purpose stays fixed, which is to please him. If we're going to live with a daring passion, our aim is to please him and not ourselves. Jesus, when the pangs of death and suffering were upon him, he said, Father, I don't want to do this again, but not my will, but your will be done. And God gave him the strength he needed. Not all of us can stay at home. And we can't stay at home forever. The churches are now open again. with regulations. But it's not about this church opening now for us to go back and jump up and praise him in this season. But it's to look out for those who need help. People's salaries are being slashed. Some are losing jobs. Some are grieving. We cannot just shelter at home. We have to dare to go out like that lady did on my birthday and seek to minister, of course, with wisdom. We cannot allow the dangers to stop the mission, the criticism, the different things. The danger of death is real. Our nurses and essential workers are living with a daring passion. What if they said, I have a family too, I'm just going to stay home? Then who's going to take care of the sick? Paul goes on to say, further down, we are representatives of the King. This is our primary mission. It is to bring people back into right relationship with God. He died so that we could live. Jesus died so that we could live. And in verse 10, Paul says, because of all this, we now have a new perspective. We show no regard for people based on worldly standards and interests. If it's one thing, COVID has leveled the playing field. As I said before, certain people that we disregarded, we can't disregard them again. Whether you're high, low, rich, or poor, this virus doesn't care. Movie stars getting it. The ordinary person getting it. Death is no respecter of persons. This virus is no respecter of persons. But we cannot live in fear and not be our brother's keeper. We cannot say, because no, church is not keeping, we're not going to evangelize anymore. We have to find new ways and means of getting things done. So Paul says, if we're going to live with a daring passion, we have to remember that we are ministers of reconciliation. We are God's representatives. So we are now representatives of the Anointed One, the liberating King. God has given us a charge to carry through our lives, urging all people on behalf of the Anointed One to be reconciled to the Creator God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is a call to come out of our comfort zones. It's a call to me. It's a call for us. What is our purpose? Whether you're a businessman, whether you're a student, if you're in the kingdom, Paul says, our purpose remains fixed. It is to please the Lord. Because we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If ever a time, we need to remember the verse, it is now in Hebrews 9 verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die and then comes the judgment. We will all have to give an account. This is not a message we preach all the time. And how can you be preaching such a message at a time like this? Now is the time. Where will you spend eternity if you were to die? The mass can't save you. In fact, this is our mission Sunday. What is your relationship with God like? Are you right with God? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. That is part of this text. If you're going to live with a daring passion, you have to have something to be passionate about. What are you passionate about? Paul says, I am passionate about the kingdom of God. I am passionate about pleasing God more than I am about pleasing myself. I am passionate about preaching the message that brings healing and deliverance and restores people to right relationship with God and with each other. This is a time where, yes, for some people it's not such a good time. But this virus, I believe, is giving us a chance to restore broken relationships with each other and with God. There are people who it would have been hard to witness to them in their regular setting, in the corporate and in different eras. There are people who don't want to talk about death, but now we have to look at it. And this is an opportune time in this crisis to bring forth the message of reconciliation and to remind people that death, as horrible as it is, It is not the end. And we say, if God loves us and is for us, why has he allowed us to go through this? Why did he allow Pastor Mark to die? If God is with us and for us, why is he allowing us to suffer? We know that initially this wasn't his plan. We disobeyed and it's part of the consequence. But we who know him, he says, I will be with you in trouble. And sometimes his will is not to deliver you from death. When I saw that, I was, what? If you turn to Revelation chapter 6, it is talking about the different seals. And in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9, it says, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the heavenly altar the souls of those murdered for holding fast to the word of God and their testimony. They cried in a great singular voice, how much longer, O Lord, the Holy One, the True One, until you pronounce judgment on the inhabitants of the earth, until you avenge your blood? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest for a little while longer. Soon their number would be complete. In a little while, more of their fellow servants, brothers and sisters, would be murdered as they had been. The ways of God are passed by me. Sometimes his will is not to deliver, to preserve us in this tent. Sometimes we will have to suffer for a greater purpose. What I'm about to say does not necessarily justify, I think, the death of Pastor Mark. But in closing, let me tell you what happened. Unless a grain of wheat dies, it cannot bring forth much fruit. It is because Jesus died why there are so many in the kingdom and there will be so many around the throne. I don't know how many more will die. I don't know how long the virus will last. I don't know why so many died in Italy. I don't know why so many are dying in the US. I don't have all the answers, but I know God has a plan. 2 years after Pastor Mark's death, while Pastor Mark was here on earth in Haiti, there may have been about 20 members or so. It wasn't large. It wasn't even 50. It's so many faithful members. But after his death, the work continued. And I saw pictures of a huge concrete structure, a big building filled with over 200 believers. His death was not in vain. And God took care of his wife and his two children, and there are persons who adopted them and supported them financially so that they could be able to further their education. Oh my goodness. What you're going through right now, sometimes it makes no sense in the groaning because of the goriness of life. But there is a glory. There is a promise of glory that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. And that when the grain of wheat dies, to bring forth much fruit, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. his death wasn't in vain. The mission continued. He lived with a daring passion. It cost him his life. He lived understanding that there is something greater. Friends, whether you believe it or not, if the word of God is true, there's a day that is coming when God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. And the glory that will be revealed cannot be compared to the sufferings we are going through right now. This too will pass. Just like how the Spanish flu passed and other things passed, this too will pass. There is life after COVID. But in the midst of it, I urge you, as a believer, live with a daring passion. Ask God to reveal his purpose to you so that you do not live in fear. The righteous is as bold as a lion. Ask God to reveal to you a perspective on life, death, and suffering that will cause you to live with a daring passion to fulfill the mission he has given to us. Is representing God your primary business? Is love for the anointed one, Jesus, the controlling factor in your life? Because if it is not, you cannot live with a daring passion like Paul. You cannot say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so, it's time to get reflective. Are you willing to live with a daring passion? Like Pastor Mark, like the Apostle Paul, like my pastor? To extend God's love to others in spite of. Will you live in fear of death? Or will you live with a perspective on eternity? Because Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Father, take this word like you did the fish and bread and multiply. Lord, our aim is not to be insensitive. But Paul was living at a time when death was very real. They were being slaughtered. It wasn't a virus. It was others. They were being arrested. They were being killed for their faith. But they still had to be on the move about the business of God. God, cause us not to be distracted or to be so downcast that we ignore the business of God in light of the crisis. God, you said you will be with us in trouble. For those who are grieving right now, my church brothers and sisters, be with them. Provide for those who are without right now, who've lost a job, those who are hurting. Reveal yourself to them. You are still Jehovah Jireh. Lord, help us, all of us, to live with a tighter grip on eternity and a light grip on earthly things, for the things that are seen will vanish away, but the things that are eternal will remain. Help us, God, to live with a daring passion, even in the midst of this crisis. For your name's sake.
We certainly want to thank all who participated in the worship service today, and thanks to Sister Kameko for that reminder that we all need to be passionate in sharing the gospel with those around who are reaching out for life's meaning, and more so during these troubling times, and that one day we will appear before Christ to give an account of our stewardship. Today's announcements are as follows. Happy birthday and anniversary to all those persons celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. God's richest blessings to you all. May 20th of each year is celebrated as Centenarian Day. As such, our centenarian, Sister Madge Hansen, who is 104 years, was visited and presented with a gift from officials at the Ministry of Labour and Social Security and the National Council for Senior Citizens. Please continue to pray for our Sister Joyce Jarman, who is still at the Linstead Hospital. Our Bible study series, Stewardship with Focus on the Family, as it relates to the emotions, spirit, and body for all age groups, continues this Wednesday at 7 p.m. with Reverend Richard Beckford. Information on how to join these studies is provided by email and posted in the various WhatsApp groups. Our Sunday sermons will continue to be aired via our website at www.gmc-mca.org. Please remember to pay very close attention to the periodic updates and advisories issued by the relevant authorities relating to COVID-19. We continue to remind everyone to take all the necessary precautions and stay safe. Please bow your heads for the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you all, until we meet again next week. God willing.